well, this is where I'm going to be right now. You see what I'm saying? We're just doing liturgy right now. Is he going to be up here with us for liturgy? Thank you. And then after that, he can have every... Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to our Shabbat service. And we are getting started here, if the stand will behave. And we'll welcome, have Anthony Cody come up. Pastor Coy Webb from New Life Baptist Church will be speaking today. And our rabbi is away. I think he's coming back. He's visiting his mother, so we just need to continue to lift up the Bell family. Miss Dawn Rabitson, Dawn, and Rabbi, and his mother Harriet, and for safe travels all the way back, and that they had a wonderful visit with his mom. I know his mom is in hospice, so let's just continue to pray. So, and we'll remember to shut off our cell phones too. Hallelujah. So, welcome everyone online. You're watching Ari Yehuda, Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we'll be doing the Shulchan Adonai, which is the table of the Lord. So if you want to take a moment to get some things prepared for that, like grape juice, some crackers or matzah, some like that, so you can partake in that part of the service later on. And let's see, Anthony, if you have any.
Yeah. Just welcome.
And I'm Diane, in case you don't know. And this is a Brother Anthony here. So.
You ready? She's yep. Ready. We're ready.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
liturgy. Blessing of the Messiah. Brukatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan La Derech HaYeshua
Mimashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Matovu.
Matovu. O Halekaya. Ishtenotecha Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy
dwell in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Matov is the call to worship liturgy. That's why we have it right here where it says the call to worship in the synagogue.
Vishamru?
Is that on recorded?
Yes. And if you want to follow along in Hebrew, it's in page 46 in the Siddur. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay.
Oh, so you don't. We have
she
it, Carol.
Don't have it.
Okay. Vishamru v'nei Israel,
et ha-shabbat. La so et ha shabbat le do tambourine do alam. Vishamru vene Israel le et ha shabbat. La so et ha shabbat le do tambourine do alam. B'nei o b'nei, b'nei Israel, b'nei Israel. O he Elolam, Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Let HaShabbat, Laso et HaShabbat, Ledo a tambourine do alam. Kikeshel Amin, Asa Adonai, Asa Adonai, Shemayim Viharet, Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Let HaShabbat, La So Let HaShabbat, Le Do A Tambourine Do Lam. Of O Name HaShavi, Shavat Nina Fash, Shavat Nina Fash, Shavat Nina Fash, B'Shamru, B'nai Israel, Let HaShabbat, La so et ha shabbat le do a tambourine do lam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat
observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them, prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, this faithful Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the saved beyond our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat that you've given us today, Lord, and may we truly rest and find peace in this day that you have given to us. Lord, we pray today for Jerusalem, Lord, the capital of your kingdom, Lord. And we say today, Lord, that we pray that your light will shine from Zion, and rejoicing and merriment will sound from the walls. And once the temple is built, Lord, from that great crevice that you're going to put your temple upon, Lord, and we pray that will announce the coming of the Messiah, Lord, your Son, as he inhabits and begins the messianic reign of his kingdom, Lord. We just pray today that you'll bless and protect Israel from her enemies, and we pray that the United States will be a stronger ally, a stronger helper, a stronger confidant to the Jewish people in the land of Israel, Lord. After all, Israel belongs to the Jewish nation, Lord, because the Jewish people, you gave it to them in a covenant that you promised to Abraham, Lord. And your word shall not return void, and your commandments shall not be broken, Lord. And your word will stand throughout all eternity, Lord, because you will not change your word. You have spoken it. So we pray for that land. They will receive Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah, Lord. We pray for all the Messianic communities, Lord, around the world, that you will bless them on this day, that they will have a great service, Lord. Bless the rabbis and bless the messages, the dancers, the worship music. Lord, we pray today that you would just anoint each and every one, Lord. We pray today that you will bless Pastor Webb as he comes to bring us a message that you've given him today, Lord. We ask your blessings on each of us today, Lord. It's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Avinu, Malkeinu.
maker of all things, ruling all the works of your hands.
Of your hands,
you loved us so. You sent your Son to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, this is your name. Avinu, Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling all the works of your hands. You loved us so, you sent your Son to take our sin and shame.
For the Shema, please. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Bill, would you come and get the Torah out? And
Carol, just... I can't hear anything on my mic.
I'll go ahead and open it.
Out of the monitor. There we go.
Touch it. Oh, save me. Oh, save me. Who is like thee, O Lord among the gods? Who is like thee, Lord, there is none else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord, doing wonders.
What is the answer to that ancient question? Ein kamoka valim Adonai, valim kamasek ka, malkut ka, mamiko, olamin, umashaka, bikor, dor vador. Adonai melech, Adonai melech, Adonai imlok leoam vaed, Adonai oz leomo we retain, Adonai varech et the mova shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Just rest it. You're just going to rest.
He's going to go down one time where she starts the music.
Okay.
Thank you.
sharing the kingdom, yeah. We may not go to my dying, sharing the kingdom, yeah.
In the name of
the Lord, la 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 la.
Vinutsu im kaneka mi paneka ki mitzion tetsi Torah ki mitzion tetsi Torah udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim Baruch Shinatan Torah Torah Baruch Shinatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Pigdu Shatou.
And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. Amen. You all can be seated. You can go ahead and sit down, Bill, if you want to. You can go ahead and just sit back there, yeah. I'll give the Aliyah call this one. Yamod Asher Ben Zedekiah, La Torah, Barku Adonai Hamvarah, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah, the Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Elohein Yumelech Haolam, Asher Makanami Ko Hadamin, Netnea Ten Lanu Et Torto, Baruch Atah Adonai, No Tame My Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blesses the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Okay, we'll get into the Torah portion this morning. Okay, today the Torah portion is the second parasha. And parasha in Hebrew means a portion. So there's 54 portions that cover the whole year. And we get into leap year, then some of the double parashas are split out into single ones. So this one today is called Noach. And if you know anything else, you always ask people, how many animals did Moses get in the ark? And they always say, well, it was two. And I said, well, unfortunately, Moshe didn't get any in there. It was Noah or Noach. And he took two unclean and seven clean. They don't read the next verse. He took seven clean animals or pairs. And so this is Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 11. And if you happen to read the half Torah, that's in Isaiah 54 through 55. So we start a new month, Marche Zivan. And Marche Zivan is called the month of sort of bitterness because we pray a lot for rain. And there's no feast. There's no fast. It's just a regular month, I guess you could say. But it's called the bitter month. It's the month that the great flood came, and maybe that's why it's called the bitter month. And last week we talked a little bit about the Garden of Eden and Adam, because a lot of people think Adam, that really wasn't his name. It just is a title or a label that he had. Adam is red, and Adamah was meant the dirt that Adam was formed from. But his real name was Ish, and his wife's name was Ishah. But last week, we see man sinned and woman. They both sinned, and God's redemptive plan is revealed there as they were leaving the Garden of Eden, that they would be eventually reunited with God. That was his plan. And we see today, if you read the Torah portion, you'll see that about 9 to 10 generations have passed since Adam and Eve were asked to leave the Garden of Eden. I'm not sure how many years a generation is back then, but it was a few years. But during that time, man had become extremely evil and very wicked, and the sin was very perverse upon the land. I was going to jump forward here. And, you know, when you look at that, what was the reason for God with man? What happened? You see, why did he want to destroy mankind? Because it had gotten so wicked. We were eating and drinking very heavily. We had evil hearts. We were involved in same-sex marriages. And we were involved in sexual morality, those were things that God could not tolerate. And man, I guess the biggest thing was man had become very evil in his heart. And the only person that really was considered a righteous, and it was the first time that we see the name of friend used, was Noach. And God chose him to build a teva. A lot of people say it was a boat, but it really wasn't a boat at all. It's a teva. Now, over in Kentucky, they've got that Creation Museum over there, and they've reconstructed Noah's Ark, and they have a museum. But when you go, you better take a whole lot of money with you, because I heard it's pretty expensive. A buddy of mine went, he had to pay to get out. So, I mean, that's for, at least he said he did. I think he had to pay for parking or something to get out. But he had a good, they say it's a great place to go, so there's a lot there. I don't know if it follows all the biblical classifications of it or not, you'll have to go and sort of check it out for yourself. But God instructed him. What was so interesting, he wasn't near any land. He was out in the middle of nowhere building an ark, a.k.a. boat, so people understand it floated. And he wasn't near no water, you know. So they're thinking, people laughed at him. You know, the Bible doesn't really tell us how long it took him to build it. He built it by hand, so it took more than 30 days, I'm sure. He was about 500 years old when he started having a family. He had three sons. They married. And we see that around his age of 600 years, we see about the ark. And I think a lot of people say, well, it was 120 years, because if you read chapter 6, God says a man's days are 120 years. And I think what he's referencing, that's the amount of time that was given to man to repent before God destroyed with the flood. And you see, for 100 years, Noah chiseled and hammered and put tar pitch on that Teva, and people would walk by and laugh. I'm sure they laughed because they were evil in their hearts. They thought he was an idiot, an imbecile, whatever. You know, they thought that was stupid, building something to float when there's no water. And how are you going to get it there if you, you know, how can you don't have any way to drag something that big around? It was 450 feet long, three tiers. There's a lot of speculation about how it happened, but you got to understand it was the providence of God. And that Teva is representing the end times here. As God provided an ark then, he will provide an ark in the end times. And we'll see that just a little later. And so they had an opportunity to get in. He told them about the impending danger. He gave them a harbinger. Death is coming if you don't believe in God and you don't get into the ark. That would be believing in God to get into the ark. You'd have to believe in God in order to have the faith to get into the ark, to be saved. But can you imagine the people when it started to rain? I often thought, what was on their minds when it started, them first drops of rain hit their head, and they're thinking, okay, it's raining. Okay, Noah said it was going to rain and flood, and then the water's up to their knees, and then they're completely consumed. I imagine, and when God, and you know, the scripture says God's closed the door to the ark. That meant it could not ever be opened again, no matter how many came and cried, and I'm sure there was a lot that clawed on that door. It says God closed the door. He had given them the opportunity, and God closed the door. And if you're an unbeliever, one day God, your life will close the door, and if you're not a believer, then you will be lost into eternity. You're going to spend it somewhere, someplace. And it's better to go to heaven than to go to hell, because there's a lot of people think that I've known over the years, they think, well, hell's going to be like a big party, but I've got another thought for them. I think if they read the Bible, it's not a place of happiness or enjoyment or of a party atmosphere. It's a total darkness. I read an article many years ago, because I was in the Army with a chemist from Union Carbide, and I read an article. It was a technical thing, and I read a little bit. I didn't understand all of it. But they had done a test on fire, and they took a match, and they were saying that at the center of a match, when it's burning, you would think there would be light, but there's total darkness. And to me, that's an image of hell. There's fire, but there's no light. It's total darkness, and you're there for all eternity. And how long is eternity? It's forever. It'll never end. Their crying out to God will never end. So it did rain, and the water came from heaven, and the water came from the depths of the ocean, from the depths of the earth. God's water came up, and of course it was flooded. And it took about 150 days for the water to start receding. And, you know, with this, the ark, as Rabbi preached here a couple of weeks ago, it came to rest on Mount Ararat on the seventh month, which we just celebrated, Sukkot, seventh month, Tishrei, and it was on the 17th day of the month. It was right at the end of Sukkot that the ark finally rested upon Mount Ararat. That was left. And so, and they had to wait until it was totally dry. But, you know, this was a point when, at this point, man was permitted to eat meat. You know, they had brought the clean animals onto the ark. And as they finally, the dove brought back the olive branch, and the land was dry, and the last time she didn't return. And so they went out. And, but can you imagine walking out of the ark and there's nothing there? Everybody you knew has been washed into eternity. There's nothing left. All the houses, buildings, farms, everything is just, I've often wondered what that experience was like walking out of the ark and everything was gone. I mean, it was totally barren. The earth was totally destroyed. God wiped everything off but save Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives, eight. The number in Hebrew means resurrection or new life. And so it was a new life. The eight of them came out. They built an altar and they sacrificed unto God. Now I have something in my workstation at work that someone sent me a couple years ago. I don't remember where. And I've never seen one before. It's Noah's flag. And a lot of people come by and they say, what's that? And what it is, it's a blue flag like the Israel flag. And it has Noah laying prostrate on the ground before the altar, and the flames of the altar, the sacrifice, are ascending into heaven. I've never seen one anywhere, and I wish I could remember who sent it to me, but I got it in the mail one day, and I've never seen one before. I guess you could probably Google and find one. But it's a great conversation piece because people, they look at it, and they turn their head, and they're like, I said, well, it's Noah, and they're like, okay, who's Noah? I said, well, you probably know him as Noah. And it's when he came out of the ark, he did sacrifice. That's the first thing they did. They thanked God that they survived. And they had a big gigantic job. They had to start creation sort of over again as far as populating the earth. Noah and his three sons and their wives. So that was quite a job. But God destroyed everything. It was really, when they walked out, it was a brave new world because everything was washed away. God completely removed everything on the face of the earth. That's unbelievable. He must have been extremely mad to have destroyed mankind because he wasn't very happy with the way people were living, because they, you know, you can be mean and nasty, but when you have an evil heart, that takes it so much deeper. And I've known people in my life over the years, they may have been a little mean, but some of them had an evil heart. It's totally different than just being mean. An evil heart is so conniving and destructive that, you know, I think somebody's mean, sometimes they'll sort of, you know, get a thought or something and not be so mean. But when you have an evil heart, it just goes so deep and it's so hard and calloused that it's almost impossible to reach through all of that hardening that's in a person when they have an evil heart. But just to close this morning, you know, Yeshua spoke. He said, no one knows the day nor the hour of my return. You know, only God. It depicts a Jewish wedding, because if you know anything about a Jewish wedding, the groom doesn't know when he's going to get married. The father knows, and he'll come and get him and say, okay, we're going to do the wedding. So it's unknown. And that's the way the return of Yeshua is. He says, my father, because it's a depiction of the Jewish wedding, he says, my father knows, and he will let me know when it's time to return to the earth, when it's time. And so that's part of Yeshua's return. We don't know the day nor the hour, but he gives us indications throughout his word that of things that we are to see and be aware of, because he wants believers to be aware of things that are coming and things that God has set in order. And just to close this morning, Yeshua said it pretty much the way it is. He says, the world is with a sign. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man returns. So we're living in those days now. When you look at sin, nothing really has changed as far as the classification of sin. Sin then is sin now. There's really no difference in sin. It's just sin. We may have more access to things of the world through television, internet, and all that than they did back then. But still, sin is separating yourself from God, and nothing has changed. As those people back then before the flood were evil in doing all the things that are taking place today, because that's the way the world wants to go. There's a group of people in the world that want to destroy the world. And, you know, a lot of people, I hear a lot of people at work saying, well, you know, if you politically don't agree with them, you know, they're causing all this confusion and threatening people. But just wait for a while, and they will eventually want to stop your religion. They will eventually, that will offend them, because I keep telling people, they laugh at me at work. I said, they're going to come get the Jews on Saturday, and they're going to get the Christians on Sunday. And they say, what do you mean? I said, the Jews worship on Saturday, on Shabbat. Christians worship on Sunday. They know that. Not the guy in Overland Park that went to the synagogue on Sunday to kill people. He went to kill Jews. I used to work right across the street from that gigantic synagogue and all that development. He went on the wrong day. He didn't know that Jews worship on Shabbat. He went on Sunday, and he killed Christians. He didn't understand, which is, I hate seeing someone die, but he really didn't understand. But believe me, they're going to come and get us at some point. And, you know, they'll know, and if there's enough evidence to convict you, they don't need evidence, but hopefully your testimony will be enough that they'll know that you are a believer, and they'll know who to come get, that your walk will be strong and your light will shine, because the days are getting darker, and when they get darker, then we must shine more in the darkness. Does that people know? Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. All rise for the closing of the Torah. Vitzot HaTorah Asher Shemoshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Pi Adonai B'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Hallelujah.
It's Chaim Hi L'Rosim Kima
Tom Keha Merusha De Rakeha Dokeboam Bekotiboteha Shalom Ashime.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Bill. That Torah can get a little heavy. But Bill's a pretty strong guy, so he's able to handle it.
Do we have any announcements?
I don't know of any announcements other than Rabbi Joe will be back next Shabbat, as far as I know. But we do have calendars out in the foyer there. They're, I believe, $15, so you can keep up with the biblical feast. It also has the parashas each Shabbat are on there, so if you want to read the Torah cycle, you're very welcome to do so. So, and you can join me and do a mitzvah a day if you want to. That's a yom yom. So I do a mitzvah a day, but that's an instruction from God, one of His teachings. But there's some great books, some great worship music. I think there's one CD from our little Jewish girl that came, Deborah Latorno.
Deborah Klein, Ian Turno.
Yep. She's got Vince. I think there's one of the Hinehi out there. And I bought that. It's a great CD. It's a great CD to listen to. And so let me encourage you. There's one left. So there's not. We can probably get some more, I guess. But yeah. I think there's only one. And there's other books. There's other CDs out there of music. So if you want to buy something, you can just drop the money in the box up here, and we'll record it for you.
Speaking of Hebrew calendars, Anthony.
Right ahead.
Since he was talking about Cheshvan, which is the month that we're in, and Thursday was Cheshvan 2, and that is mine and David's wedding anniversary, or 7 years. Mm-hmm.
7 years. Okay. Congratulations.
Heshbon 2. We observe the Hebrew calendar. So I guess Gregorian calendar, it was October 30th. But anyway, a little tidbit of information there.
And they were trying to find out my birthday at work, and I said, well, it's the 14th of Adar. And they're like, okay.
What?
What's that? I said, well, you need to look it up and find out.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see how old I am. They gave me a hard time because I'm such an
That's
old guy.
Funny.
Really? Okay, I guess we can, well, we take up the offering this morning. Okay. And we are going to take up an offering for our guest speaker today, Pastor Coy Webb from New Life Church on Hendrickson Road, just past the racetrack.
1000 Hendrickson Road.
Yeah, 1000 Hendrickson Road.
Right. Beautiful out there.
On the right. So we'll be taking up an offering at the end of the service. So this morning, if you want the two baskets, the first one is for small change that goes to people in need, and it also shared with the MJA. The other, the smaller basket, is for our building fund. We still have repair work open in the fellowship hall. And then the big box is for your tithes and offerings. So we'll pray, and then you can bring your tithes and your offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day again that you've given us, Lord. We ask you to bless the message, bless the worship, the dancers, as they'll be dancing shortly, Lord. Bless our worship, Lord, that it will be pleasing to you, Lord, an offering of worship unto you today, Lord. We ask that you bless the offering this morning, Lord. Bless those that give and bless those that don't give today, Lord. We ask that that our cups will run over, Lord, with blessings from you, because all blessings come from you, Heavenly Father, today. And we ask you to bless us today. In Yeshua's name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are
Thank you.
to the Lord I deny. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord I deny.
Leads me to your land.
my future is in Zion. Eternity, it's in my heart.
Okay. That was great. Thank you all. Okay, we're going to go to the table of the Lord now. Lashel Conant and I, and Pastor Webb is going to lead us through that. So prepare your hearts. We're not supposed to come unworthy. If we have an ought against someone, we're supposed to ask for their forgiveness, and we're supposed to take the time, as he's talking about the emblems, that we get ourselves situated with God in the right mindset to come and partake. So this morning, you can do that while he comes and leads us through the Shelkan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Thank you. And we've already, Deborah and Miss Webb are going to be serving us this morning. Thank you.
Well, Shabbat Shalom to everyone this morning. And I'm going to read just a little bit here from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we begin to think on this. And there's a couple thoughts that come to my mind. Might be too close to the monitor. That better? All right. A couple thoughts that come to my mind this morning that I'd like to talk about. And so I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17. It says, "Now in the giving of these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, as a congregation, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are proved may be recognized among you." Now, there's several things that I always think of, and I'm going to pick back up here in verse 23 here in just a minute, but there's several things that I always think of when I think of the Lord's table, okay? And I know when I've been here before, some of the things we've talked about, we talk about the fact that, it really is about that whole aspect of personal relationship, coming into communion with God. And it's an opportunity that we have to really focus and to do those things. And of course, by partaking of the cup, of the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Christ, but also that body that was broken that we see there in the bread. And we're reminded of this as the third cup of the Passover table, and that aphikomen that's broken there, and all those kinds of things. But as we see that, what we see is that his body was broken, his blood was shed so that we could have the opportunity for that personal relationship. But in that same thing, there's another aspect to this that I see here this morning, and we kind of see it in these passage that I just read, and that is this whole component of unity that comes with this as well. You see, when we come into personal relationship, when we come into personal communion with God through that Christ has done for us, we come into unity with God. But as we come into unity with God, there's something else to this that we've kind of picked up on here in our passage of Scripture. We also have to come in together in unity with each other as well. So as we begin to think about it, it's about unity with Yeshua, sure. But it's also about unity with other believers. It's about unity with the body of Yeshua, if you will. And, our unity, this very thing that's possible through Christ. We may differ on a lot of different things, but there are a few things that we can't afford to differ on and be part of the body, right? And if we think about this this component of unity, it's important for us as believers. It's important for the body of Christ. I believe it's absolutely vital for revival in the day that we live. If we want to see a renewal and a revival of God's work in the day that we live, I believe that we need to see a greater unity among congregations all across the land. Whatever the denomination is, whatever the affiliation, whether they call themselves Christians or whether they call themselves themselves messianic, whatever it may be. I believe that we need this whole component of unity, because there's something that we got to consider. Over in 1 John chapter 4, I think right around verse 20, it tells us that to me is something very, very much for us to consider. It says if we say that we love God, yet we hate a brother, or we have disunity with a brother, what is it going to say? It says that we lie and we don't do the truth. How is it that then we can come and commune with God if we're in disunity with one another? Or when we're in disunity with the brethren? With brothers and sisters who are part of the body of Yeshua. So just as Brother Anthony mentioned here just a moment ago, unity is an important part of this. You know, if we have something against someone, those are things that we need to get out of our life so that we can come into communion with God. And then, you know, the seriousness of this table, I believe it's a very important thing for us to do. I believe it's very serious for us to do. But, of course, it's representative, though, of what's going on in our lives as well. Okay, so what we have to begin to understand, what we have to do, is we have to seek the Lord's face. We have to seek Yeshua. We have to get things right there. We have to understand that the unity and the connection that we have to God is also affected by, and it affects our unity and the relationship that we have with others who are in the body of believers. Okay, so we need to think about that here this morning. And I want to read just a little bit more to you, and then we'll say a word of prayer and partake of the table this morning. But on over in verse 23 there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had taken it, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This, when you do it in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So I would like for us to take just a moment before we come here this morning, if everyone would with me, just bow your heads. And let's take just a moment of reflection, okay? And just as we've talked about here this morning already, it's a moment of reflection about our relationship, because that's really what this is all about. It's about relationship. Over in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he says, "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, you know, I will come in and I will commune with him. I will come in and sup with him." And, you know, that's the desire that I have in my life. I want to walk in relationship with Christ. I want to walk in relationship with Yeshua each and every day. I want to walk in communion with him. And that should be the desire of our hearts above anything else. So what about you this morning? Where is it that you stand? Are you walking in unity with our Lord and Savior? Are you walking in unity with other believers? Let's just allow God to search our hearts here for a few minutes this morning. And let me also ask this. If there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, if you'd raise your hand, I'd like to pray with you about that. If that's something that you're ready to do this morning, let us know, because this is certainly something that we want to take care of. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a little while, about some things related to that. Or maybe you're listening online today. Maybe you're listening to a live stream and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, today is that day, okay? Today is the day that we can come to know him. Over in Romans chapter 10, it simply says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God's raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what do? We accept Christ as our Savior. So if you don't know him today, it's not a hard thing. In fact, Romans 10, that same chapter there over in verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then for us as believers, what about our walk with him? Let's just take this moment of reflection as I'll say a prayer, and then we'll begin the process of serving here. But, oh God, Father, thank you so much. for this day. Thank you for the love with which you've loved us. God, we thank you for that body that was broken. We thank you for the blood that was shed so that we can have an opportunity to come into unity with a holy God. So that we could have the opportunity to come to know Yeshua as our Savior. So that we could have the opportunity to know life in Messiah. We give you the praise and we give you the glory and we give you the honor for that. Lord, if there was nothing else that you were to do in our lives, if there was absolutely no other blessings that we had, just that alone is so much enough. And we thank you for it. We praise you. We honor you this morning for that very thing. God, we also thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to not only walk in unity with our Lord and our Savior, but God, to walk in unity with other believers. And God, this morning, we just pray that you'll search our hearts, Lord, that you'll touch our lives, and that you'll give us the strength that we need, Lord, so that each and every day as we go forward, we can walk in unison with each other, but even more than that, in unison with you. And we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We ask your blessings upon this bread and upon this cup. And God, we just thank you. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the Lord of the harvest. Blessed be the Lord of the fruit of the vine. Blessed be our Lord and our Savior. And we just thank you so much for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. And God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and we give you the glory that you deserve here this morning. For it's in that precious name of Yeshua we can pray and ask these things. Amen.
You can come as you're ready.
Yeshua,
Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, this morning we've already announced that we've got a guest speaker, Pastor Corey Webb from New Life. I want to say New River, I don't know why. New Life, maybe it is a river. I got to remember. It's New Life, and then off the Volunteer Parkway, actually, I guess it's Bluff City's address, 1000 Hicks Road. He's been a pastor for a while, and he's been here a few times and spoke. So this morning, and again, we're going to take up an offering for him at the end of the service. So keep that in mind. So Pastor Webb, come this morning and give us the word God's put on your heart. Let's welcome him.
Well, Shabbat Shalom again. I hope everyone's had a good week. Let me get situated here for just a moment. All right. So there's a couple things that, of course, I've been here before, so a couple things that you probably know that I have a tendency to do. I like to move around a little bit when I talk, and the other thing that I do sometimes is I like to talk with my hands. I don't know sign language, but you would think that I did. So if I start doing this, you're just going to have to wave at me or something. I'll wave back, and hopefully I'll realize I need to get the mic over here in front of my mouth too. But, yeah, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you guys very much for having me. And be in prayer for Rabbi Joe as he is driving back today. My understanding is going to try to finish the rest of the way back. Anthony and I were talking earlier. Last time I spoke with him last night, I'm pretty sure it was around 9:30 or so, and he still had a couple hours that he was wanting to drive last night, so I'm sure he drove kind of late, and so he may not have got an early start today, but I'm sure he'll make it back safely today. Just continue to remember him in prayer. Today I want to speak on some things here for just a little while, and you know, if I were to talk about here with this group of people, especially when I mention God's appointed times, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You associate that terminology with the feasts and the appointments given to us over in Leviticus chapter 23. Of course, today, you know, the Sabbath, Shabbat, is one of those appointed times. And as we've come to this time of year, when the annual feasts have finished up, and in fact, here we are just a little bit after Sukkot, and there were actually a few days after Sukkot, I got an article from one of the news feeds that I get. It's one of the Israeli news feeds that I get, and the article that was in there was an article about what to do now that the feasts have ended, and it's kind of things. It was about, it was an article about the hustle and bustle of, and the excitement of everything that's going on during the feast time, and how that there's always something going on, there's always something to do, but then all of a sudden it stops. Now, I don't remember all the details of the article, but basically it went on to kind of offer up some information as to what to do during these times between the feasts and the holidays. And as I began to pray about the word that God had for us this morning, there was a passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians that came to my mind, and God kept giving me. But at the same time, he also kept reminding me of this article. What is it that we do between these times? Even though it's not a time of the feast, what is today? What's going on right now? So what I'd like to speak with you on for just a little while here this morning or this afternoon is the subject of today's appointment. Today's appointment. What is our appointment for today? The day in which we live. Now, we know that time is important to God. Okay, you look throughout his word, you're going to see that time is important to God. One of my favorite passages over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And he goes on, he talks about a lot of things, right? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck that which was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to give away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate. And I think, you know, that series kind of ends with a time of war and a time for peace. But, you know, as we begin to think about that, and as we begin to think about so many other passages of Scripture, we see that time is important to God, because God is a God of order and timeliness, right? And you know, the thing is, the hard part for us many times is our time frame's not His. And you know, we think of over in you know, the story of Lazarus and what took place there, and how that it seemed as though Yeshua was late, but he was really on time. And I think, matter of fact, I think Deborah Klein Ian Torno, I think there was a song that we sang talking about, you know, that God's always timely, even though we may not realize that, we may not recognize that. But what we know is that to God, time is very important. We know that God's calendar is very important. Over in Galatians chapter 4, it tells us that it was in the fullness of time that God sent His Son. In fact, it says there, it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Now, the Greek word there used for the fullness of time is talking about completeness. It's talking about basically a time frame when all was ready and everything was set up for this to happen. So we can see from that God had a calendar. He had a series of events, and there were things that had to be fulfilled for that time to come about. But you know what? We also know that there's yet another time to come. There's another appointed coming for Yeshua, right? We know that there will be another day in which He will come. And you know, there are passages of Scripture that talk to us about that. Mark 13, verse 32 is one of those. It says, "But of that day and hour, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when that time is." Now, we may not know when that time is. It says here that the Father knows, but here's what we know. There is a time. You see, God has a time that's set forth for this. God has an appointment in which this will take place. And God knows what that is. We may not. You know, we have to piece and put together a lot of things and understand the end times and understand what's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. But God knows. And He knows when. He knows how it's all going to take place, because He has a plan. And timing and His calendar is all very important to Him. So, you know, now what do we know? We know we can look at Israel. We can look at Jerusalem as God's timepiece, and we can kind of begin to understand that time is getting shorter. The word tells us over in Matthew 16 that, you know, we can discern the seasons. We should also be able to discern the times. And you know, we're discerning the seasons right now. Finally, the last few days, it's kind of felt like autumn out. Have you noticed that? It really hadn't up until the last few days, but all of a sudden it's a little cooler out. There are a few leaves falling. So we can discern that. We can figure that out. Well, likewise in God's Word, it tells us, look, when you see things coming to pass, you know that time is coming. So we may not know exactly when, but we know there's an appointed time, and we know that it's getting sooner. Okay? So, you know, we can look at those things and we can understand them. And, you know, today, I mean, very soon we're going to see many of these things coming to pass. In fact, I say quite often that, you know, we live in a day right now when you can turn on your television and you can watch things take place, and you can see things happening in the news that you can go back and relate to things that you read in the Word. And, you know, and I believe it's an unprecedented day in which we live, because we're seeing these things more and more. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just read you a few verses, and then we'll add to some of these verses a little bit later as well. But I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, another version kind of reads this way. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listen to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is that favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer again this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for your love. I thank you for all that you've done for us. But God, this morning, I just ask that your blessings will be upon our service here this morning. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we're two or three are gathered, that you're in the midst of us. And Lord, here even this morning, we know that there are many folks here who have things upon their hearts and maybe prayer requests or maybe difficult situations that they're facing or battles. God, I pray that you'll reach out and you'll touch them this morning, and Lord, that you'll give them a great strength. And Lord, we especially also want to pray for Rabbi Joe as he travels, and he and the family. I just pray that you'll be with them and give them a safe trip, and that Lord, you'll bind the enemy to keep us protected, to keep them protected, keep us protected here as well. And we just want to give you the thanks and the praise and the glory and the honor for this. We ask your blessings upon your word and the reading of your word, and for just a few moments that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, move us out of the way. It's not about us, not about anything that we say or do, but God, it's all about you, and we just want to praise you and glorify your name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. In that wonderful and precious name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. All right, so in speaking on this subject for a few moments this morning, the idea of today's appointment, I want us to understand that, if you will, this is a reminder of some things that we need to do with each day that passes. Now, it may not be one of God's appointed feast time at this given moment, but it is, I believe, a day that's appointed by God. It's a day where we have been put into place for just such a time as this, just like we hear over in the book of Esther, right? It's a day that has been appointed to us, and we have an appointment that we are supposed to fulfill. So let's talk about this morning. As we talk about today's appointment, there are really three things that I want to look at and I'm going to talk to you about, okay? So for those of you who like outlines, there are really three things that I want to discuss for a few minutes this morning. First of all, I want to define the appointment for you, okay? Now the whole message kind of talks about the appointment, kind of defines it a little bit, but I want to talk about the mechanics of it here and kind of relate to you the fact that it is, in fact, an appointment. So we're going to define the appointment, but then we're also going to discover the association that's here, because there's some really key associations for us with the appointment we have today, I believe, with the appointments of God, okay, with those feasts and so forth. So we're going to talk just a little bit about that, just try to remind you of a few things there, and then I want to kind of end with determining the application for us. What does it mean then for us, okay? How do we go forward with it? What are we then to do, okay? So let's start by defining the appointment. What is today's an appointment? The first thing I want to point out to you here this morning is that our scripture tells us that now is an acceptable or a favorable time. Now, an acceptable or a favorable time. This is a time when salvation is available. And when we think about this, I want you to think about the day in which we live. And let's be real honest here. Today, in the day that we live, in the country that we live in, right where we all sit, right where many people may be watching us here today, we live in a place where, in a day and a time, where salvation is relatively easy. Would you agree with that? It's relatively easy. There's not someone waiting at your door as it stands today. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, as soon as you accept Yeshua, to carry you off and throw you in jail. We don't live in, I believe those things are coming more and more all the time. But today, it's relatively simple when it comes to salvation. We live in a day when we have a great opportunity that we face. Okay? So as we put this into perspective and we begin to think about this, this is an acceptable or a favorable time. Okay? So it is favorable. We've got very favorable circumstances in regards to salvation. Now, at the same time, the other side of this is, when I think about the fact that today's an acceptable time, today's a favorable time,
It also kind of makes me think about the other side of that. That means there's coming a time when it's less favorable. Would you agree with that? There's coming a time when it's less favorable. There's a coming a time when it's going to be more difficult. And there's coming a time ultimately when the ark door closes and the opportunity is gone. So as we begin, Isaiah 55:6 talks about that. What does it say there? It says, the Lord says, call upon me while I am near. Seek me while I may be found. You know, that's great, but the implications there are that something else is coming, and that's a time when I'm not near and I'm not easily found. Okay? So when we talk about the day that we live in, now all of a sudden it starts the perspective of it's a favorable time, it's an acceptable time. That makes a big difference now when we begin to look at the perspective of exactly what that means. So the day that we live in is one where the implications are great. We see the limitation on the time frame. You know, you ever seen those things that something's available, you can go to the store and you can get it, but it's a limited time only? You know, well, when you miss it, you miss it. It's gone. Today is that time that's acceptable. It's a preferred time, a favorable time. It's a time when we can accept the favor of God. It's a time when the Lord accepts us in salvation. You know, and on we could go as we begin to look at this, but a favorable time is one that's approved, advantageous, good, right, suitable. And we could maybe even say it's an appointed time. An appointed time, of course, we know about the Moed over in Leviticus 23. It's a time that's set aside for something. The appointment, if you will, and therefore the appointed time. So I believe that we find ourselves today in a time that's set aside. It's a time that's set aside to be an acceptable time and a favorable time. And, I believe in this. We see that it's a time set aside where we can see the salvation of men. So, therefore, for us, what is it? It's a time in which we are to declare the gospel and the coming of our Lord. And I believe we're going to see that more as we go. Now, there's another thing it says here. It says, not only does it say that it's a favorable or acceptable time, but it says now. Is that time. Now, the days in which we live are that time. Now, I say this quite a lot. I say that, you know what? Today truly is an opportunity that you have. If you can pick up your Bible and read God's Word and read that gospel, if you can hear it being preached and taught, then guess what? Now's your opportunity. Now is that opportunity. Because you know what? We're not promised tomorrow. I mean, what does it tell us over here in Proverbs 27? Not to boast of tomorrow, because none of us know what a day may bring. But here's what we know. Now is that acceptable time. So whether it's in between all the feasts, whether it's at an odd time of the year, I think Anthony said earlier, you know, this month's kind of just a regular month. You know, you begin to think about that. But let me tell you that, yes, it may be a regular month in regards to all the things that we have going on through the year. But now is an acceptable time. Now is a time when the fields are white to harvest, as we're going to see here in just a few minutes. Now is a time that is the day of salvation. So it's now. Now, when we think about this, we think about this word now. Let me also ask you this. What happens when you miss an appointment? Any of you ever missed an appointment? You ever missed a doctor's appointment? It usually ends up costing you money, doesn't it? They're still going to charge you something. Now, if it's a difficult doctor to get in with, it may be months before you ever get to go back. How many of you have made a reservation as an appointment? How many of you ever made a reservation and you missed it? Maybe a hotel reservation. You know, you don't show up and you don't make provision for not showing up, then what are they going to do? They're still going to charge your card. That's why they get it up front, right? So it's going to cost something. So when we talk about this whole component of it's now, now's that acceptable time, just as we spoke about a minute ago, that means there are implications that there's a time to come that's going to be different. So what do we not want to do? We don't want to miss the appointment that we have now because it's very costly. And may I say to you this morning that for anyone who don't know Christ as their Savior, this is the most costly appointment they could ever begin to miss. This is going to cost them everything. It's not going to cost them a little bit of a doctor fee. It's not going to cost them a night of a hotel dollar figure or anything like that. It's going to cost them everything. So now is that time. Now is that time that's favorable. And that's an appointed time. And then it also says here that this is the day. This is the day of salvation. And we can see this whole same component of now and now's the time and all that thing here. But we also see here that salvation is available. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, salvation has come through him. And now is that acceptable time? And on we could go there. But I want you to understand another component of this. I believe that when we see here talking about the day of salvation, I believe there's also a proximity that comes into play. And that's very important as well, because here's something that we have to understand. If it says now is the time, if it says now is the day of salvation, then that also implies to us, first of all, that God has brought the opportunity for salvation. We know he's done that through Yeshua, through Jesus Christ. But also, it implies to us this proximity that God will meet us. You see, if salvation is available, then he'll meet us. So what do we understand about that? What we understand is, you know what? Whether you're in a synagogue somewhere here on the Sabbath day, whether you're in church tomorrow, if you need to meet God, you can meet God. You can meet God here. You can meet God tomorrow on the first day of the week. You may be watching somewhere out there. You may be in the lowest of lows. You may be in the worst spot that you've ever been in. You may be in the deepest, darkest place that you've been in your whole life. But guess what? The Lord will meet you right where you're at. You may be on top of the world. You may be in the grandest, greatest high rise. You may, wherever you're, but guess what? God will meet you right where you're at. You have an appointment. And there's a proximity to God that comes there with us. Now think about this. What's an appointment all about? If you look up a definition of an appointment, what would it say? It would simply say that, you know, an appointment is when you arrange to meet someone at a particular time and place. That's the simple definition if you look it up in the dictionary of what an appointment is all about. Well, what have we just seen? We have an appointed time right now, because guess what? God's called us to something. So it's about salvation. There's a reason for it. There's a time. That's now. And there's a proximity to God, because he'll meet us wherever that we're at. You see, this is an appointed time that we live in. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have an appointed time. Right now is your appointment. There's a window of grace. But you have the opportunity today. And that's what this verse is telling us. We have an appointment. We have an appointed time. Okay? So by way of simple definition, today's appointment is one of salvation. It's one of God's wonderful grace. And there are some other things I want to look at in regards to this morning as well, before we get to even more application. Because the thing that we have to understand, while you may say right off the bat, well, you're just preaching a salvation message to us this morning, and in some senses it is, but there's some things that we're going to see as well for those of you who are already believers. There's a lot that comes with this for us as well. But I want to make note of the associations here this morning to connect this to God's appointed times. And as we do this, I want you to see a couple of, I'm just going to try to summarize this into a couple of associations real quick, so as we don't get into too much. But I want you to see two things, really, okay? First of all, I want you to see a personal association that can be made here, and then I want you to see a prophetic association that can be made, all right? So when we talk about the personal association, and we talk about today's appointments, and we talk about God's appointed times, many of you have studied the feast through the years, you've participated in those things, and as you've experienced them, what's one thing that you've come to know more and more and understand even better all the time? You've come to understand how personal that is to you. You've come to understand the application of it to you personally in your lives. You know, for me, and especially with what we're talking about today being the day of salvation and those kinds of things, think about the first feast of the year. In that first month, starting around that 14th day, we think about the Feast of Passover and how it leads into the Feast of Unleavened Bread and then the first fruits and all those kinds of things and all that series of things that takes place. What is it that we see there? We see a very personal application for us, don't we? Because you know what? In the Passover, going back to that very first Passover, I mean, what a beautiful picture that is of salvation and what it's all about. I mean, I think about, here it is. There was an appointed thing that was going to happen on that night when that death angel came over. There was an appointment with death. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. We have the same appointment that they had. And there was an appointment that night that this death angel was going to come over. But there was salvation that could be had. That salvation was through a lamb that was provided. And as that lamb was slain and that blood was taken and it was applied to those doorposts of that home, when that death angel come across and it saw that blood applied, what did it do? Just passed right on over. Just passed on over. It puts us in mind of the New Testament when it says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Now all of a sudden there was no victory for death. So we see that taking place, and we think about that, and we think about the personal nature and the personal aspect in our lives. And you guys know this. You know what? Today's the day of salvation. You know what that means? That means that we don't necessarily have to wait for the first month, the 14th day, to experience that Passover. I can experience the personal Passover in my life anytime because I have an appointment today. I have an appointment today with Yeshua. I have the opportunity today to come to know Him. And you know, we partake of this, what is represented by the afikoman and the third cup here as we partake of the Lord's table. And that's a reminder. Every time we do it, the Lord said, as often as you do that, some people do it very often, some people not as much, but as often as you do that, you do so in remembrance of me and what I've done. You do so in remembrance of the personal nature of what that's all about. So we see the personal application that's there. I mean, and what a beautiful picture it is and what a wonderful thing it is. But we also see here in this as well that we see that connection to the appointed time, to the favorable time, to the acceptable time that we've been talking about, the opportunity for our personal connection with Yeshua. But we also see here in this a connection to the prophetic association. And you know, when you think about prophecy and when you think about the associations there with prophecy, here's what we have to understand. What we know from God's Word is that there are more appointments to come. Okay, we've already mentioned that. Just as I said there a minute ago, it's appointed unto man, wants to die. That's an appointment that we have. Somehow, some way, we're going to come to the end of this life that we have, that we know right now. Is that better? Cut out just a few times. But we know that that's going to take place. And, so Hebrews 9:27, matter of fact, is that verse that talks about that. It's appointed to man once to die. So for some, yeah, it's death. But for others, it's also the fact that, you know, one day, just as Brother Anthony said earlier, one day the door on the ark is going to close. And the opportunities that we have today are going to be gone. It's going to be sealed. It's going to be done. Choices have been made. So the appointed time that we have now is very much related to the fact that, prophetically speaking, there are other appointments that lie ahead. You know, when we talk about the feasts, I mean, those of you who've studied them through the years, you know that there's been fulfillment in those first feasts. We talked about the Passover. We know fulfillment in Christ and all that kind of stuff. We also know that there's fulfillment to come prophetically for the feasts that are left. Especially those, you know, in the fall of the year and all that kind of thing. So we see that. But what we see today is we see us moving very quickly down that path. And I thought there a little while ago, I actually thought, brother, I thought you were going to kind of preach my message for me, and I was just going to be able to get up and say, well, we're done, you know. But because he got on to some things talking about that God had kind of laid upon my heart here for this morning. But I want you to see some things when we talk about prophecy. And I'm just going to mention one of them. Let's talk about apostasy for just a minute. Let's talk about apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is when you turn away from a revealed truth. That's a pretty simple working definition of what apostasy is all about. Now, apostasy in essence can be equated to a spirit of Antichrist. If you think about it, it's Antichrist. It's turning away from the revelation of truth. And that's what apostasy is all about. I mean, listen to a couple of verses here. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, the apostasy, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So apostasy is the turning away of revealed truth, and we see here it associated with the spirit of the Antichrist. But also we see that we can associate the spirit of the Antichrist with the spirit of Antichrist in general. I want you to listen to this passage as well over in 1 John. And as you listen to this passage, I want you to relate this to the day in which we live. I want you to listen to this passage and think about the day in which we live. 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to start reading verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. This is how we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. We could also say he is apostate, who denies. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of apostasy, is a denial of Yeshua. And let me tell you, I don't have to go into too many things this morning for you to realize the day that we live, but let me mention a couple things. Today we see many turning away from the truth of God's Word. Many turning away from homes that they grew up in, where they were introduced to Yeshua, where they were introduced to the truth of God's Word. We see the cult trying to take our children from us. Primary cult age through high school and college these days. I have the privilege of filling in at some different churches at different times and in different congregations and so forth. And I'm going to tell you, there's a disappearing age group from our congregations across the land. You can go whatever day of the week you go, and whatever the day you go and you enter them, there's disappearing age groups. We're seeing a movement away from truth that's been revealed. Folks, we're living in this day and we see these things happening. We see the spirit of Antichrist around this nation and around the world. If you've traveled any around the world, you've seen the same thing. You can go find all kinds of buildings and churches and so on and so forth where they're just empty today, not used at all. No truth being proclaimed whatsoever. Sometimes a place where it once was. The hour is late and we have no time to waste. That's a big part of the message today. The hour is late and we don't have time to play around anymore. We've got to be believers and followers of Yeshua who are serious about what we're doing, okay? And I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit on that, but I'm telling you, that's the crux of what we've got to understand today as we look at this. Now, there's a lot more we could talk about in regards to fulfillment of prophecy and all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, we've got to take notice, okay? There's just really one thing I want us to understand. We have to take notice. Just like Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 that I mentioned there a few minutes ago, there are implications of the day that we live and the fact that something else is coming. And we have to get serious about that. We have to get serious about our message to a world that has an appointed time today. Today is the time when they have that opportunity. We have to get serious about our message. So with this in mind, today is the day that we must look at the personal nature of our relationship to God and our relationship to others and the relationships of other people to the Lord. And we have to comfort one another with these words. That's what 1 Thessalonians tells us, that we take these things and we comfort one another with these words. And we must not allow the understanding of the day that we live in The understanding of the day we live in has to motivate us. That really is what it has to be. There are a couple things, and I've talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that there's a connection here to prophecy and all that. There's so much more we could talk about there. But I want us to understand something about prophecy just here real quick. A lot of times there are kind of two mistakes that people have a tendency to make. One, they don't ever want to hear about prophecy. You ever run across people like that? They don't want to talk about it, don't want to think about it. They're just good with everything the way it is. But then on the other side, there are some people who are so caught up in prophecy that they're no good to the day they live in. I mean, just to be frank, all they're doing is trying to figure out what's going to happen. Let me tell you, here's what I believe wholeheartedly. Prophecy is very important for us because it has to motivate us. A big part of it is that it motivates us for the day in which we live. If it doesn't motivate us in the day in which we live, then we're really not accomplishing anything, and it's not accomplishing anything in our lives. That's just the truth, okay? So that's, and I believe that's why God puts it here. But it's also why I believe he leaves some unanswered questions, you know, because this is about motivation. It's about motivating us. I mean, it's important. You know what? You know, we think about the fact that we don't know the hour. The exact hour and the time. You know, that's a motivator. I mean, that's a motivator for us to be ready all the time. I mean, you know, when my boss calls and says that he's coming into town, and I know when, we all get ready for that time that he's coming. But now, if I know he could show up at any time, you're trying to get ready all the time, or trying to stay ready, because you never know. It's like a pop quiz. See, it's about motivation, and we have to be a motivated people. We have to understand that our time is short. We have to understand that our message is important, and we have to be motivated. So let's determine some application here real quick, and I'm going to try to go through this real quick. But there's some things that I want us to see when we determine application here. Back to our passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there are really four things that I want us to see that comes out of this passage. First of all, it tells us here that we're to avoid profitless acceptance. Verse 1 here in 2 Corinthians 6 says, "Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." It says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. To receive it in vain is to receive it and do nothing with it. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. What is this? This is a call to fruitfulness. You see, when I talked about the fact that today is the day of salvation, a lot of people check out because they think, well, okay, I've accepted the Lord, so I'm okay. But there's a whole lot more to this passage than that. You see, first verse here, there's a call to fruitfulness. We think about the etrog over there, you know, in Sukkot, and we think about the fruitfulness. We talked about that here a couple weeks ago, about that representation of fruitfulness and those things that we can take into eternity with us. That's the fruits of our labor and all those kinds of things. We have a call to fruitfulness. The New Testament's full of that call. But guess what? It's not a new call. The first two chapters of the whole Word of God. You look at Genesis in the first couple chapters, and what are they told to do? Be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful. We have a call upon our lives to be fruitful, and we see that same thing mirrored here. I want you to see what Paul goes on to say in another passage, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says that God's grace towards him was not in vain, and he goes on to say that he labored abundantly in God's grace. You see, that kind of defines for us what we're seeing here. He says, don't accept God's grace in vain. James says it this way, faith without works is dead. You see, there's some labor that comes with it. The fields are white to harvest. Today is a favorable time. It's an acceptable time. It's a time of opportunity for people to come to know Yeshua as Savior. So we have to understand that that time's now, and we have to understand that that time's getting shorter every day, and that needs to motivate us to be fruitful followers of Christ. Not only, though, are we to avoid profitless acceptance, but I see here in this passage that we're to avoid preventing others. Verse 3 here, it says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. It's not to us to offend people. God's word tells us something. It tells us that Christ and the gospel will be a stumbling block to some people. It says that several places. 1 Peter 2, 1 Corinthians 1, Isaiah 8. Jesus talks about it. Yeshua talks about it himself. That Christ and the gospel, the truth, will be a stumbling block to some people. Now, if you're speaking the truth, if you're preaching God's word, if you're doing those things, in that sense, it's okay to be a stumbling block because people are going to trip over the truth. Okay? God's word tells us that. But I believe what he's saying here is I put no obstacle in the way in that I don't let my own failures get in the way of my ability to be fruitful. Okay? I put no obstacles so that the ministry be not blameless. While some may stumble over the truth of the gospel, there are things that we can't let people stumble over. We've talked a lot about unity today and sung about unity and all these kinds of things. We can't let disunity among a body of believers be a stumbling stone for people. Do you agree with that? We can't let... I mean, that's why it's a basis. That's why it's a need. That's why Jew and Gentile coming together. That's why all those things are important for revival in the day that we live. Because when we don't have it, we see a stumbling stone being put in front of people. And it's a stumbling stone that should not be there. You know, yeah, again, people will trip over the truth, but they don't need to trip over our failures along the way. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, it doesn't. But that means we don't need to be hypocrites. We need to be real. Sometimes we mess up, and we got to be willing to take what comes when we mess up. We got to be willing to admit when we're wrong. We got to be willing to sometimes say that we're sorry. You know, I mean, think about that. We've got to be real. If we want to be fruitful, we have to avoid putting these pitfalls in front of people. Not only that, but we also see that we need to actively prove ourselves. And here in this passage of Scripture, and it actually, if you think back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that it tells us there that we're epistles read of all men. It tells us that other people will look at us and they'll read, if we claim to be followers of Christ, it says that other people will look at us, and that'll be the Bible that they read in essence. That'll be God's word that they read. That's where they'll get their first understanding of it, is through us. So as we begin to think about these things, what do we have to do? We have to prove then ourselves. And now when I say that, don't get me wrong in my terminology. We're not proving us because we're nothing to prove. But we're proving what God has done in us. Okay, we're proving the work of Christ through us. And right here in our passage, starting in verse 4, it says, "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way," or we prove ourselves in every way, "by great endurance, by great endurance in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in sleepless nights, in hunger, and also by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love, and by truthful speech and the power of God." It gives us many, many things here by which we should see as attributes in our lives, things that prove our ministry to other people, that allow us to be fruitful. It says that we do these things by endurance, and then it gives a whole list there: afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger. In other words, whatever comes our way, when we're able to endure through our Lord and our Savior. And how many of you, I mean, you guys know what, how many of you know what it is to face a battle? You know what spiritual warfare is about. But you know what? When we endure the things that life has to throw at us, when we endure spiritual battle through the help of Yeshua, people see that. And you know what that is? They see the peace that passes all understanding. And when they see that peace that passes all understanding, that means they don't understand it. That means we have a peace that they can't understand. And what's going to happen then? That's when they begin to ask. That's when they begin to look at you. How is it that you can go through that, yet everything's okay in your life? And it talks about it here. It goes on. It talks about purity next. Okay, purity is very important. Piety. There's a call in God's word to be holy. But it also goes on here next, and it talks about knowledge. Knowledge to rightly divide the word of truth. And even over in 1 Peter, that we're to be prepared in God's word. We're to be prepared so that when people come and ask us about those things, how is it that you can endure something like this, yet still have peace in your life? Well, God's word tells us we're to have the knowledge to be able to answer and to give and to point them to the cross across, to point them to all these things that we've seen here today and we've talked about that Yeshua did for us, so that they can see him high and lifted up. And you know, we know that it says that if he be high and lifted up, he'll draw men to him. You know, we're not the ones who, you know, we can't convict people. That's not on us. It's not. We're to teach and to preach the word. We're to teach it and to preach it in the way we live and all those kinds of things. But God says that he will be the one that'll do the drawing. The Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, that's what'll do the drawing. That's what'll draw men to him. So, but knowledge. We need to know God. Philippians 3:10, not only know about him, but to know God. Patience, kindness. It mentions the Holy Spirit here, but it also mentions some of the fruit of the Spirit as we think about that. We know that Romans 8:16 says the Spirit will bear witness in our lives. Genuine love and compassion, that's mentioned here. 1 Corinthians 13, we know, now by faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. If you don't have the love, if you're not loving people, then what is it that we have? We have grace that we've accepted in vain. And which is one of the first things we talked about not to do. So we understand that love, truthful speech, and ultimately the power of God. And people will see the power of God in our lives. When we have the power of God upon us, people will see that in our lives. So the final thing I want to mention to you here this morning is that we're to actively prepare for battle. It says here in verse 7, by truthful speech and the power of God, kind of finishes out what I just talked about. But then it goes on, it says, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. You know, we raised our hands here just a minute ago. Here's what we know. When we become motivated, when the understanding of all these things come about, when we understand the appointment that we have today, when we understand that today is an appointed time in that salvation is available to anyone, when we understand that we have a call in that time to be fruitful, and that it's a perfect, it's a field ripe for harvest. The laborers are few, right? But the harvest is plentiful. I mean, all these things, we see that connection to this day. But when we understand that, and when we begin to embark upon that, now here's what we have to understand. Battles will come. When you try to live for God, when you try to do the things that he's called you to do, battles will come. So what does Paul go on to say here? He's like, prepare for battle. Get ready. He ties it back to Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. He ties it back to those things that we're to put on every day and we're to wear. And in particular, he mentions the two things that are carried in the hands, right? Because he talks about, you know, put these things on your hands. What are that? What are those items? You remember? The sword and the shield, right? The sword of truth, the shield of faith. Get ready for those things. And think about that. Where does it all start? It starts in our faith in the Word. Our faith in the Word of God. The living Word of God. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, all those things we begin to pull together. Battles will come. You know, we know from these other passages of Scripture that we can endure. We can make it through those things when we trust God. It's not always going to be easy, though. I mean, understand. Yeah, I mean, you guys know. You've raised your hand. You talked about the fact that you know what it is to experience warfare. Warfare is not fun. It's not easy. But God gives us a way, and he tells us that he can help us through that. And you know, as I think about that, and I think about Ephesians 6 when it talks about the armor of God, there's one thing it also says. It says, and as you put on these things, it talks about with all prayer. Prayer throughout everything that we do. You know, our connection to God is another important part of this. We need to pray for the protection of our families. You start working for God, your family will come under attack. Mark my word. You start working for God, everything you do, many, many areas will come under attack. We've got to pray. We've got to pray for the protection of God. We've got to pray for that hedge of protection around us. Psalm 22 talks about, Psalm 91 talks about, God as our refuge and our fortress and all those kinds of things. We've got to pray the protection of God upon our lives. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And we can do that in the name of Yeshua. We can do that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. We have that available to us today. But be ready. Be motivated. But be ready. Today, right now is the time. The appointment that we have today, if there's someone listening somewhere, wherever you may be, now you have an appointment. You have an appointment, and you can come to know Yeshua as your Savior wherever you're at, just by asking Him into your heart. You know, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want to turn to you this morning and give my life to you. I confess Yeshua as Messiah, Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and my God. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. For all of those of us who have accepted Yeshua already in our lives, now's the time of harvest for us. Now's the time of opportunity. We're called to be fruitful. And we're in a time when we can. And I believe that's God's message for us today. We've got to heed the day in which we live. We've got to get serious. It's time to stop playing church and synagogue and all these kinds of things. It's time to get serious about God. It's time to get serious about the calling that He has for us. If you'll bow your heads with me for just a moment, I'm going to turn it over to Anthony here in just a second. But as we think on these things, may I just simply ask, what about you? What about you and your motivation? What about you and the time in which we live? As you go out every day, do you check, you know, a lot of us check our calendars. Do you ever check God's calendar? Do you ever look for what God may have for us? Maybe there's someone that comes across your path who, you know, for you, you may not think anything about it. But you know what? Maybe that's their appointed time to come across you so that you can tell them about Yeshua. Maybe that's an appointment that you have that's on God's calendar that you didn't know about. Let's be sensitive to that in the day that we live. Father God, thank you so much. We love you. We praise you for your word. We thank you for all that you've done for us. God, we ask your strength through this coming week that we'll be a light in the world in which we live. That we'll realize the seriousness of the day in which we live and that the seriousness of the message that we have to declare. I pray for each and every person here. God, I know that throughout this week, you have appointments for each and every one of us. Maybe it's someone who they need to hear about Jesus and they're going to come across, we're going to cross paths and this will be our opportunity. God, help us not miss those opportunities. In fact, we ask that you bring them our way. Give us the opportunity. Give us the chance. Give us the words. Give us the ability to daily declare who you are in our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
The rabbi called and he asked us to have a time of prayer for him and his sons as they're traveling. I think he's already left Don at Newark at the airport. And they're traveling. He's got a rash, I believe. He's developed while he's been in Boston. They've been traveling from Boston. It's about, I don't know, 16 to 18 hours. It's a long drive. They did stop, but still, that's a long drive, even if you chop it up to be in a car. But his back's bothering him. He's got a rash. Let's don't forget his mother, Harriet, that some way Yeshua will reveal himself to her. Some way, I know she's been in hospice for quite a long time, but God is able to intercede into that hospice room where she's at. So I'm going to ask Pastor Corey if he'll lead us in prayer, and then I'll give the Coleman blessing, and then you can bless Pastor Webb today with his message. I think it was a good message, appropriate for today, because we're in the days of Noah. We're in the days of Noah because they, you know, Yeshua said that. So it was the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return. And they kept saying, what's the sign? He says, you've been given. Jonah gave you the sign. He gave you the sign that you know, in the darkness there. So we're going to ask you if you would stand, and let's all just pray for Joe and his sons as they travel, that they'll have safe passage and an easy drive.
Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne just thanking you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace, Lord. It's sufficient for every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we just want to come together as a group of believers touching one thing, Lord, and just asking your special strength upon Rabbi Joe as he travels. Lord, we know how it is to travel these long drives. They're very difficult. And God, I pray that you'll give him a grace. Lord, just as we talked about earlier, a peace that passes all understanding, a strength that goes beyond the mere mortality of our manhood and who we are. But Lord, that is something that can only be explained by your grace and your wonderful favor. And Lord, I just pray that you'll touch his health, God, his back, Lord, also the situation that he's facing here with the rash and these different things that have come upon him, Lord, these afflictions. God, we just ask that you'll bind the enemy, and Lord, that your protection will be upon him. We talked about the protective hedge that you have for us. We talked about that you're our strength and you're our high tower. God, we just pray that special blessing and that special strength will be upon him and the boys, Lord, as they drive, God, that you'll give them a safe trip. You'll prosper their way. And God, that when they come back and as they make it back in, Lord, they'll be able to look and see your hand that was upon every mile of the drive, every turn that was taken, and on every around every bend, God, that your protection was already there, that even in regards to whatever a battle or whatever fight lay around the corner, God, that you were always there to head it off beforehand. And we just give you the thanks and the praise and the glory and the honor for that. And Lord, we're so thankful that you're a God who hears us, that you're a God who knows what we need even before we ask. And Lord, we thank you today for what we believe you for. We thank you today for what we believe that you're going to do. And I pray your blessings upon each and every person here. Pray that you be with them throughout this week. And Lord, we may we say one more time while we're here that we love you and we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you deserve. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.
That's okay. I got number Diane's mic. Okay, thank you. It's a great message again, and we appreciate you. He could have probably been doing something else today, but he came and he shared. So thank you. So if you will still stay standing, I'll give the Aaronic blessing. This is the only thing in God's word where the rabbis actually invoke a blessing, but God says when he hears the prayer, he will come and visit his people. Yivakar Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yo Adonai panaveleka vikunika, Isa Adonai panaveleka v'yasimleka shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom and bless you today, Lord. In Yeshua's name, the Messiah, we pray. In Yeshua's name. Have a blessed day today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.